Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
And welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report, coming to you live from our radio and television studios in Northwest Pennsylvania. And a wonderful show lined up for you tonight. Liz Croken's going to be checking in with us about the Podesta. Well, if you go to HagmanReport.com, you can read her latest. And then, of course, we are going to be joined through our the second at the bottom of the hour, realclearisrael.com. That's realclearisrael.com. Leslie Ann Stoffel. What's taking place in Israel? You know, it's amazing what we saw here the last couple of weeks in Israel. We saw a border guard. Israel, a female border guard, gets stabbed, and of course the BBC headline turned out to say three Palestinians killed at the Israel border check, which they were the assailants. So the die is cast. The fake news, as I guess the only way to describe that would be fake news. So Leslie Ann Stoffel is going to be coming on TheRealClearIsrael.org. That's our website. We're going to be hearing from, again, Liz Croken. There's a lot of things, a lot of moving parts in the background with respect to the Podesta, Clinton, Pedigate, Pizzagate. There's just a lot of things going on in the background. And it's really, a lot of people are working different angles to this. I do believe people are going to see quite a bit of movement this week, quite a bit of advancements this week in that venue. Now, those people are waiting for the Hillary Clintons and the Podestas to be perp walked. I don't see that coming for quite some time. Just as an FYI. Okay. So, however, stranger things have happened. Now, we have to keep fighting. We have to keep the faith. We have to keep pushing. We have to keep slamming. We have to keep putting the truth out there. We have to keep fighting these bots. We have to keep fighting this false narrative. We have to keep fighting and exposing. That's what we have to do. CrowdStrike. You know, the Democratic Party, the Progressive Party, the mainstream media have become increasingly consumed with the narrative that the presidential win of Donald Trump is largely influenced by Russian hacking. That was the news back in January, and it's still the news today. CrowdStrike is the sole source of the claim. I bring that up because there's... Go ahead.
I posted an article yesterday on Hagman Report. CrowdStrike, five things everyone is ignoring about the Russia DNC story.
Yeah, yeah, and here it is.
That's a good
here
piece.
Here it is right here. Yeah. CrowdStrike, Obama, here are the five things. It's on HagmanReport.com, but it's the five things, and I think everyone needs to understand this. Obama appoints CrowdStrike officer to admin post 2 months before June 2016 report on Russia hacking DNC. And that's important. The timing is important because once you start connecting the dots, here's the issue. The Russian hacking narrative, the Seth Rich homicide, the dots are connecting incredibly. The FBI, the DNC servers, the Awan brothers, the Pakistani ISI infiltration into the house. This is incredible. Go ahead, Joe.
You said the Russian hacking. I was going to say, what about the collusion?
Well, yeah.
What about the meddling?
Well,
I'm just kidding. All these different words they use.
Yeah, and you know, it's now the Federal Bureau of Matters, not investigation, of course. Right? Mm-hmm. It's not FBI anymore. It's the Federal Bureau of FBM, Federal Bureau of Matters. The sketchy dossier, the sketchy firm behind Trump dossier is stalling investigators. The secret, a secretive Washington firm that commissioned the dubious intelligence dossier on Donald Trump is stonewalling congressional investigators trying to learn more about its connections to the Progressive Democratic Party. The Senate Judiciary Committee earlier this month threatened to subpoena the firm. And we talked about this in shows past, Fusion GPS. Well, Fusion GPS refused to answer questions and provide records to the Senate panel identifying who financed the Arrowhead dossier. That, and that's referred to as a PP dossier, the Steele dossier, whatever you want to call it. It's just this is an opposition research of the deep state, and it's really Fusion GPS is actually was started by, I believe, three at one point journalists, Peter Fritsch, and a couple of others, and that man, all three donated, apparently, reportedly donated money to the Hillary Victory Fund, Hillary for America campaign. This, according to the FEC data, the founder's wives also sent money as well. So, property records, by the way, show in June 2016. Clinton allies bankrolled Fusion GPS, or as Clinton allies bankrolled that entity. The co-founder Fritsch bought a 6-bedroom, 5-bathroom house in Bethesda, Maryland, for $2.5 million, $2.3 million. It's good work if you can get it right. So, by the way, that Fritsch served as the Wall Street Journal's bureau chief in Mexico City. He's been lecturing at various progressive institutions and married into a family of Mexican business interests. The various other entities or various other groups, all of these groups are tied to Hillary, tied to Podesta groups, tied to the opposition research, the David Brock Media Matters, the Correct the Record. All of these groups, you can start connecting the dots very adeptly right now. And you can see that this is a projection by the progressives, not necessarily a projection by the progressives of the Russian meddling or the Russian hacking, which did not occur, but them wanting to make it seem that way. And it's very interesting because we've got a lot of information and a lot of information that shows Hillary Rodham Clinton and Obama, all of that, are tied to all of this, and not Donald Trump, but the Clinton camp in total. I sent some Twitter messages out of my own personal account. Also copied the Hagman Report on Twitter as well about some of this information. We also have more information. The two primary, by the way, the two primary leaders, in my view, in our view, of fake news, the head of CNN and the head of MSNBC, NBC, you've got Lackey and the other gentleman. His name has escaped me right now. We have to keep our eye on that. And let's get right. Since we're doing this show, why don't you go ahead and bring Liz Croken on.
We have Liz Croken with us. She's going to talk about her latest piece, which, if you go on Hagman Report, at the moment I can't find it, but I just tried to put it back up at the top of the page. So in 60 seconds, if I did it right, it should be back up at the top of the page, or in 30 seconds. Liz, welcome back to the show.
Hi, guys. How are you?
Good. How are you doing, Liz?
I'm good. I'm just hanging out in California trying to take down elite pedophiles one article at a time.
There you go. And you're doing a fine job of it as well. You're getting a lot of play over the fact, over the question, did Podesta attempt to take out, Scalise? And we saw so much, crap against Representative Scalise. What's your take on this?
Well, this is what I found out, and I think that is very notable, and I think is very interesting. When Scalise first became the majority whip in the House of Representatives, which obviously gave him a significant amount of more power becoming the majority whip, right around that time, what happened? A bunch of Democrats, including Podesta, started to call for his resignation, okay? And they started to call for his resignation by claiming that 13 years prior, think about that, 13 years prior, he had spoken at some rally allegedly funded by David Duke, okay? Now talk about a stretch. Now, around this time, when Scalise became majority whip, what was Scalise working on? He was working on getting through several bills to fight sex trafficking, to fight human trafficking, okay? So, I have published stories and come on your show talking about how Scalise, who I truly believe was specifically targeted in the Alexandria shooting, I believe it was a hit, okay, because of his work with sex trafficking, because currently he has been working hard to combat human trafficking. However, in 2015, when he first really started pushing for legislation that would help end human trafficking, help sex crime victims, it was right when he became majority whip and right when he first started talking about human trafficking, that's when all of a sudden a bunch of Democrats and a group linked to Podesta, which I discovered within emails from WikiLeaks, in the Podesta emails, or they might have been the DNC emails, but they were emails that were sent to Podesta that were asking for his resignation. Okay? And so, you know, I just want people to really start critically thinking about all these ties between John Podesta, Congressman Scalise, sex trafficking, and actually all the ties between everyone that is lashing out and targeting politicians such as Trump, Attorney General Jeffrey Sessions, who are publicly speaking out against sex trafficking and publicly working very hard to combat it. And if you start taking the microscope under these people that are speaking out the loudest against Sessions, Scalise, and Trump, you will find many, many ties to pedophilia, okay? Now, John Podesta and this group, they had to have known that Congressman Scalise may have spoken at this rally 13 years prior. Why all of a sudden, in 2015, were they asking for him to resign? Is it a coincidence that he was just starting to push for legislation to end human trafficking? I don't think so. And we damn well know from the Podesta emails that those emails are filled with pedophile code words. Connect the dots. People need to start connecting the dots.
Yes, they do, Liz. And, you know, this is something, one of the problems we ran into when the story originally broke during the presidential election was many people will never look into things like this. It's too disturbing, which I can, to some degree, understand that. Then you have the ones who just deny it, and then you have this huge media campaign, you know, calling it fake news.
Yeah, and
it really, that's they did
crazy
a number on the number of people who would really look into this.
That fake news designation to as it applies to Pedigate is just beyond, it pisses me off, frankly. And if that language offends anyone, so be it. But it makes me angry when I see this applied to fake news.
Yeah, fake news and the fake news, let me tell you something. I have a lot of inside info. The mainstream media will die this year, okay? They are going to die. They are going to fold. They will no longer exist, okay? We are the new media. Like, they have sealed their fates, there's going to be a lot more exposed about the mainstream media, okay? Let me tell you, there's going to be a lot more exposed that not only how corrupt they are, but how they are covering up for pedo-gate, how they're covering up for pedophilia, how members in the mainstream media are part of it, okay? You mark my words. You remember I said this today. The mainstream media will no longer exist. I guarantee it, and it's going to happen soon. It's going to happen real fast, and karma's already hitting people like Megyn Kelly, whose show will probably be canceled because the ratings are so bad, who covered for pervert James Elefantis and didn't ask him hard questions about photos on his Instagram page that sexualized children, okay? So let me tell you, there are people like, yeah?
I just wanted to say something about the comments on the mainstream media. Because if people are waiting for when you say, you know, they're going to fold, they're not going to be relevant, they're never going to be off the air. Whether they have, you know, zero viewers or not, or, you know, or 100,000 viewers, the elite, the people in control will never put them off the air. They will never, you know, give the true ratings if they do go down that much. But these people, these media companies, will be bankrolled to by the government and by these, you know, elitists to stay on the air just for the purposes of propaganda. But just because they stay on the air doesn't mean that they will be as effective as they are today.
That is true, and you're right, because they are bankrolled and funded and sponsored by the deep state. However, let me tell you something. If they any credibility that they have, which is minimal as we speak, I mean, look at CNN. They're having to retract stories left and right and apologize. I mean, it's a joke. Any credibility that they've had left within the next few months will be completely gone. I guarantee it, okay? So that's one thing. But I really want people to start critically thinking about John Podesta, sex trafficking, the pizza analogies, the pizza symbolism, and I want people to start connecting the dots, okay? You know, what happened with Scalise was not a coincidence. It's not a coincidence that people who are fighting the hardest and the loudest to take down pedophiles and to expose sex trafficking are targeted, okay? Now, John Podesta was part of this movement to take down Scalise 2 years ago when he first started publicly speaking out and trying to pass legislation to end human trafficking. This is not a coincidence, okay? Podesta has his dirty hands in everything, all right? This is a man who's talked about wet works in his emails. This is a man who has pedophile code in his emails. This guy's a rat. And we all know that Andrew Breitbart, God bless him, first called out John Podesta for having ties to sex trafficking like 6 years ago. Okay? So I want people to really start connecting the dots now. And there's something else that happened within the past few days that's really relevant and it's really important, and I really want your listeners to understand this and to research this, okay? An audio came out of Governor Martinez at a hotel talking to 911 about having some kind of a pizza party in a hotel room, okay?
I saw that.
Apparently, did you guys hear about that?
I didn't understand it, but I did see the video. Yeah, if you can explain that a little bit more, that would be that would be excellent.
Yes, it's a little confusing, so let me explain it because it's extremely important that people understand this, okay? So she was at a hotel, and in a hotel room where people were getting rowdy, and people started hearing loud noises and yelling and shouting, and people got extremely concerned that something nefarious was going on in this hotel room. In addition to that, someone was throwing bottles off the balcony of the hotel room. So a hotel employee called 911, and at some point, Governor Martinez came down and reamed out the staffer at the hotel that had called 911 and got on the phone with the dispatcher and asked to talk to a supervisor and kept going on and on about how there's no need for police to come, everything's fine, we're eating pizza. Pizza. She kept saying pizza. She kept emphasizing pizza. And she said they've been eating pizza for hours. And then she even said, well, someone may have thrown bottles over the balcony, but that was earlier. But since we're eating pizza, you know, wink, wink, pizza, like, tell your cops to stand down and not come to this room to investigate it, okay? So a lot of people that understand pedophile code relating to pizza are theorizing that they were raping kids, possibly, in this hotel room. But this is what is most striking about this whole saga that really struck me and really upset me. And by the way, you can go online, and I'll repost on my Twitter feed. You can go online and listen to Governor Martinez on this phone conversation. And let me just tell you, her tone was—it gave me chills. It made me sick. There was something very dark going on that went on at this hotel. But anyway,
yeah, I heard that, and please do post that back on your Twitter feed. Follow Liz on Twitter. There was something really off on that.
Horribly off. I mean, like, I have really good intuition. I'm very sensitive to evil. And when I first heard her get on that phone, I honestly felt sick. I couldn't sleep the entire night, and I felt like I was going to throw up. I'm very sensitive to that kind of stuff. So after this whole incident happened, Democratic members of the House, which I believe she was the governor, she's the governor of New Mexico, so Democratic members of the Senate, I believe, in New Mexico, decided to mock her for this incident by all wearing, not all of them, but a bunch of them, all Democrats, I believe, by wearing a pair of socks that not only have pizza slices on them, but guess what? The socks also have FBI identified pedophile logo. Okay? The socks have pedophile logo on them. And the reason why I'm telling this story is because what happened the day Scalise was shot? The Dems sent his staff pizza. If you don't think there's a tie there to sex trafficking, you're a fool. Connect the dots. These people are joking, they're laughing, they're throwing the pedophilia in our faces, they're sick, they're evil. I mean, this is a pattern. They use the pizza code, they use the pedophile code, they're wearing socks, they're mocking their colleagues about the rape and trafficking of children.
How can they do that to one of my favorite foods, by the way?
And I'm from Chicago, too. Like, let me tell you, it's been hard to eat pizza after I've learned what I learned about Pizzagate.
Well, exactly. I'm going to tell you something. You are just, I mean, you're like a bloodhound, okay? And the dots that you're connecting, the bigger picture that you are showing people, I think it's important. I think people need to understand how important your work is and what you've done with respect to, showing that this needs to be exposed, and this is the golden thread that runs through everything. And by the way, Liz, I was able to verify. Look, there are clubs in New York, Chicago, and Los Angeles or Hollywood, basically that cater to the upper crust, if you will, where they're nothing but orgy clubs. And I've got some information that they're expanding into, shall we say, this kind of behavior, and that involves the media as well, members of the media, high-profile members of the media.
Absolutely, and I mean, just by watching, if you turn on any network, the shows are pushing for orgies, they're pushing for the swinger parties. I love a good Lifetime movie to zone out. I'm telling you, almost every Lifetime movie is pushing for infidelity. It's pushing for these sex parties, these orgy parties. And they never used to promote movies like that before. They're really trying to normalize these really kind of crazy, eyes wide shut, Illuminati type sex parties where we know there's really dark, horrific things going on at these parties at the upper echelon elite levels in particular. And I know we're limited on time. There's just one more thing that I want to touch base on before we get off the phone. So I believe it was, is it Rob Reiner? Rob Reiner came out today and he tweeted about Trump and Russia. You know, though everyone that's testified has said, no, we're not investigating Trump, there's no collusion, blah, blah, blah. So he's still promoting this Russian narrative, okay? Like, meathead, right? Now, I want to tell people, the celebrities and the politicians, including the Republican never-Trumpers, that are speaking out against Trump the loudest, I want you to research them, and I want you to look into their ties with pedophilia, okay? Because if you look into Reiner's roast, okay, there was a roast, a Reiner's roast, it was probably on Comedy Central years ago. Senator Al Franken got up at his roast and joked about raping kids at Reiner's roast. This is not a mistake. This is not a coincidence. These people that are speaking out the loudest against Trump have ties to pedophilia. Okay? At his roast, Senator Al Franken thought it'd be funny to joke about a toddler getting raped. These people are
nothing
sickos.
Funny about that. Yeah.
No, there's not. And I'm really getting sick of Hollywood. And let me tell you, John Cusack came out today. Total scumbag. I've known him for years. I've covered him for years. I can't stand the guy. But he came out on Twitter and he's suggesting violence against President Trump. And I'm so sick of it. And I have a lot of dirt on these people. So I've been on my Twitter feed exposing a lot of these scumbag celebrities who, let me tell you, them speaking out against Trump, like, there couldn't be a better crowd of people to speak out against Trump, because these people are losers, they're drug addicts, they're jerks, they're sexual deviants. And let me tell you, John Cusack is so big of a scumbag that his father, who died of pancreatic cancer, he had a fundraiser where he sold tickets for like hundreds of dollars to his fans, promising if they bought the ticket to raise money in his late father's name, they could do a meet and greet with John Cusack. Well, guess what? John Cusack blew off that charity event in his late father's name to go get trashed at a gala in Chicago. Okay, I know that for a fact.
Liz, we're out of time.
Oh, man.
We're out of time. You keep up the good work.
We're going to be following
you so much.
We love you, man. We love you. Thank you.
I love you guys, too. Thank you so much for all this support. Like, seriously, you guys are the best.
All right.
Well, keep up the good work, Liz. Thank you.
Okay, talk
soon. Folks, we'll be right back.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
back, folks, to this edition of the Hagman and the Hagman Report. Doug Hagman, Joe Hagman, something we call the father-son premier investigative reporting team. Broadcasting live, Global Star Radio Network, all across the United States, all across North South America, and throughout the world via BTR and YouTube Live. What are you laughing at, Eric? You're, you know, so you accidentally muted the bumper music. All right. Eric at the helm, not 100% tonight, but that's all right. We have a real treat for you. Leslie Ann Stoffel. If you don't know who Leslie Ann Stoffel is, then I don't know. I gotta tell you, she's one of the foremost experts on things taking place in Israel and Canada. Her website, her site, yes, is realclearisrael.org. Realclearisrael.org. In fact, there she is right there. If you're watching this via YouTube, you can see Leslie Ann Stoffel. You can actually hear her radio broadcast as well. Watch them as well. Real Clear Israel Radio. First of all, Leslie, thank you so much for your gift of time coming on with us tonight.
Oh, you guys, I'm thrilled because, as I said earlier, I'm a big fan, and I've told all my friends here in Canada that I'm going to be on, and they're all thrilled too. So thank you for the opportunity.
We're ecstatic to have you. In fact, when John said that you'd be willing to come on, we were just very excited about it. Joe and I were very excited about you coming on. Let's start out by, I'll tell you what, before we even get into the primary question that we're going to ask you, just can you give us a brief bio of you? Just so those who don't know you, maybe just kind of introduce yourself to the people who don't know you.
I'm just a grassroots person. I started out, I went on a trip to Israel in 2008 with my mom, and I fell in love with the place. I had been on Facebook, and then later at Twitter, and I went to Israel in 2011, and because of my Facebook stuff, my social networking, I was invited to the Knesset by Ayu Kara, the member of Knesset. So I met other members of Knesset. I went there a number of times, so I'm well connected there. Then I ended up working for United with Israel, who I still work for. I work when I'm there and here. I started having to write I started writing blogs because of all the things that were coming up and were coming into my mind. So I've written for Jihad Watch, Geller, the Times of Israel, the Jerusalem Post. I started my web page to keep everything in one place. And I'm also interested, of course, in what's happening to Canada with the Islamization of Canada, how it affects us and the U.S., And what happens in Israel is just part of the jihad, the global jihad. So that's kind of how I tie it all in.
Fantastic. We started following you, I think, maybe it's Jihad Watch when I first became aware of your work. I'm not sure. This is a couple of years ago now, a number of years ago, I think.
I think it was a couple of years ago that I wrote my first article for him, and I've written a couple for Geller. So it might have been that.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and I also write for Politichicks too.
Oh, okay. All right. So,
that might have been too.
Wow. All right. So there it is, folks. There is the introduction to our wonderful guest, Leslie Ann Stoffel. Leslie, let's talk about,
let's start in Canada first.
Yeah.
There's been a number of, recent news stories in Canada. There's a new bill that they, have made it illegal to use the wrong pronouns, where you can actually be thrown in jail for calling somebody something that offends them. But there is even more dangerous things going on in Canada. You have the Islamization of Canada. And just yesterday, the Prime Minister, Trinidad, he wore these Ramadan socks while attending a gay pride parade. And there's a lot going on.
Man, there's so much wrong. Leslie, get the duct tape because things are going to start, blood vessels are just going to start, it's going to go.
Welcome to my world. Yeah. Blood, head exploding with this guy. Yeah. Where do we even start? Okay. It came out a number of months ago that he is actually partnering with George Soros to have open borders in Canada. He also partners with Obama, and it's been rumored, but it's actually been in the news that Hillary and Obama, actually these nefarious characters, actually helped get him elected. it wouldn't have been too hard because I know people were tired of Harper, and you know, in comparison to Harper, he's, you know, got the fluffy nice hair and he's got the nice name and everything. So people were sort of ready for change. How familiar does that sound? So he is wanting to, he has already put through a bill where terrorists with dual citizenship, like this Tunisian stabber that stabbed the cop in, I forget the state it was, but it was just recent. If that guy gets out of jail, when and if he doesn't come back here, he will be able to keep his citizenship because, and the terrorists who went after Prime Minister Harper to behead him and all this stuff, there was a plot for that. They also get to keep their citizenship. So this guy is such a danger, and he also has like about 12 Muslims in his cabinet. Now, I don't have a problem with Muslims if they're not, if they're going to renounce Sharia law and jihad, fine. But these, many of these that he has in his cabinet do not do that. They actually have ties to the Muslim Brotherhood and nefarious groups. And this Iqra Khalid, this Pakistani Muslim, she has put forth a motion for to quell all Islamophobia in Canada using the full extent of the law. Like, I'm paraphrasing there, but this has alarmed many, many people because Islamophobia, they say you're mentally ill if you want to criticize the jihad, both violent and cultural, which is completely unacceptable because what this does is it, you know, so look what they're doing. They're letting terrorists keep their citizenship and they're trying to stop Canadians from speaking out. So that's really so concerning. And then my whole thing too is this puts a Sharia state, a caliphate, a growing caliphate, on the northern border of the U.S., where there are many places on this border where people can just walk through. So this is actually, I believe, from what I can tell, and I have pretty good instincts, that Trudeau is being used as a puppet by the Soros people and the globalists to thwart President Trump and keep these people marching through North America to hurt the U.S.
You know, that's one thing that we've seen from Trudeau is he is vehemently anti-Trump. He almost mimics Obama in some ways. It's pretty interesting. Almost like he idolized Obama and wanted to copy some of his style and whatnot. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you this. What is, in your mind, the feelings of the citizens there? I mean, obviously these politicians, the media, always likes to paint a false picture of reality and push it as the truth. What are the everyday average Canadian citizens, where are their heads at with this?
Well, from what I can tell, a lot of people on social media are becoming red-pilled. They're starting to understand that we're in trouble because he's giving billions of dollars away to, you know, in a globalist sense to under, he really is the UN's, you know, poster boy. And he's giving money away that belongs to Canadians. And many Canadians are getting really, really mad. And, but then there's the other sort of sheeple types that sort of walk around with their head in the sand and they don't even really care or know what's going on. But I keep continuing to try to show people, look, we're in a big trouble here with this guy. And the other part of this is we have a horrible mainstream media. I mean, it's awful. The CBC, the CTV, the Global, and we actually pay the CBC, the Canadians do, like the BBC, and they are literally a propaganda, like Pravda arm for his liberal government. It's really bad. Like, it's actual brainwashing. And so that's why I work so hard on social media to try to tell people what's really going on.
Well, are you in danger in Canada? Are you in danger because of, what is that, Motion 103 or that?
This is the thing, Doug. Not yet. Because what they did was they said, well, we've got all these, even though the statistics don't bear it out, Jewish people are actually the ones that get more of the so-called hate crimes, and it's the actual hate crimes in Canada compared to our population is really, really small. But what they did was they supposedly got this it quickly got 70,000 signatures, which we don't even know if they're true or not because we haven't even seen them. And so she said, this is the, all these things are happening, this Islamophobia, and we have to get this motion sent through so we can, now they're doing a study. So what it is, it's a witch hunt. You have to pass the thing as a motion to finally see what's in it. Do you know what I mean? And then they start doing this witch hunting stuff for people to find the Islamophobia. It's absolutely out of, like, out of the Soviet Union kind of stuff.
Or out of 2009 House of Representatives when Nancy Pelosi talked about Obamacare as, oh, you'll have to pass it to read what's inside of it.
Exactly. That's crazy. That's where I got that little line from, because it was the same kind of thing.
Man, this is absolutely fascinating. So we see Trudeau setting this, or working in conjunction with the globalists, including but not limited to Soros. And I would suspect that there's some communication with our shadow government here, led by Obama, right?
I mean, he's adopted, you know, every, the most far out liberal policies, pushing for those, you know, pushing for, you know, the refugees and, what's really interesting, Leslie, that, you mentioned is that Canada wanting to allow convicted terrorists to keep their citizenship a terrorist attack. That's that's like what I think it's Sweden is doing. They even allow in the UK are allowing ISIS battle hardened soldiers who leave the battlefield citizenship and welfare programs in some of these countries, and it looks like Canada is following right along. And that's probably one of the most most extreme cases of you know, this immigration. And you mentioned it also, the what is it, 90% of the population of Canada lives within 10 or 20 miles of the U.S. border, and you know, these people are using Canada and the border with the U.S. As a way around the U.S.'s you know, immigration and enforcement. So,
as you said, and Joe, as you guys indicated, that means that the Tunisian/Canadian jihadist that stabbed the police officer the other day, when he gets back to Canada, can keep their citizenship, and that's just ridiculous. But okay, I didn't mean to take you off your stride, but I just find it interesting that, though, that your belief is that the powers that be are using Trudeau, using the whole system to create this jihadist haven in Canada, in part to attack the United States, and working very closely with Obama's agenda of facilitating jihad in North America. I mean, I think you nailed it right there.
Yeah, no, I haven't heard anybody else say that, and it's only my assumption, my instinct, from what I've gathered from looking at all of this information 24/7, that's just one of the things that I can see is happening here. Because when we look at the really diabolical things that these people are doing, it just makes sense. And also what I was going to mention about our about Trudeau and this Iqra Khalid and these other ones behind this M103, basically what they're doing, I wrote about this too in one of my articles for Geller about this, they're using psychological warfare on Canadians, because they're calling us all Islamophobes and you're all a bunch of racists and bigots. If you want to keep keep Canada safe, keep Canada good for the people who are escaping this stuff and want to come here as a safe haven, it won't be. And so they call us, he smears all Canadians as Islamophobes, even though, okay, so if we're Islamophobes, why are you inviting these people here? Aren't we all going to attack these people and abuse them? You know, it just doesn't make any sense. But what he does is he's causing great psychological stress on his citizens for no reason at all, except to just, cause extreme problems for us.
You're exactly right. And by the way, the word Islamophobia is just ridiculous. Phobia is an irrational fear. Islam is, you know, I don't know. Just look at Sweden, look at what's going on in Europe, and tell me that there's an irrational fear of the Islamization of countries. And I would say to you that, not you personally, but, you know, it's just ridiculous. But, okay. So it doesn't make sense at its face what Trudeau's doing. Even if he believes what he's saying, I guess.
Mm-hmm. But there is also, I did a video on this too about a year ago on another show, that there are video and pictures that Trudeau, people believe he went and visited actually a radical, so-called radical mosque. It's kind of near me. And he became a Muslim. That's what people think.
Really?
Yeah. And Tariq Fatah, who is, you've probably heard of him. He's a Muslim, moderate Muslim from Pakistan here in Canada. He writes for the Sun. Toronto Sun, I think. He was the one that broke that, and he said the only people who can do what Trudeau was doing within that mosque is somebody who has become a Muslim.
Wow. Okay.
You know, that's something we saw here.
That puts on a different complexion on things.
It's something, a weird phenomenon that we've seen here in the U.S. with a number of high-ranking government officials and even some military officials, you know, secretly converting to Islam. You know, for people like John Brennan.
The CIA guy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That to me was really scary, actually.
And there's a laundry list of other, not only, you know, people with high positions in politics, but also celebrities. We see a lot of, I've seen a lot of celebrities, even the female celebrities, you know, doing photo shoots with the burqas on you know, promoting Islam. It is very strange. And then, you know, I know you guys see this in Canada and here also. You have this merger, this incestuous relationship between Islam and LGBT people, which,
you know, what's
under
that
Sharia,
about?
It's like the most toxic thing you can have. But I guess
it's very, very strange. What I can think of in the future is, you see, they're just being used by the left. The left that's in, you know, partnering with Islam to Islamicize us, and then when the time comes, they will throw the LGBTQ people under the bus, basically as an offering, you know, because that's what happens in these situations. These fascist type people use parts of the population to gain control and power, and then they throw them under the bus, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
I don't know, anything's possible now.
Man, this is...
So what's the next step, I guess?
Exactly.
I mean, we've seen, you know, here in the U.S., we have the groups, the LGBT groups, the other groups that are making a lot of noise. They're trying to change things in the social world. And I think a lot of people figure out that when they start calling for special rights, I think people stop paying attention. It seems like in Canada, the Prime Minister is... taking those calls and actually implementing laws based on that, giving these people special rights, even over Canadian citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you think this is going to go? Do you think we're going to see people being locked up for being critical of Islam or critical of you know, the LGBT movement?
I think we could. I really do. I think we could. And on the Islamic issue, that's why I would like my American friends who don't want a Sharia-compliant state on the northern border to begin lobbying your congressional people, your lawmakers, to tie in maybe trade deals with these sorts of laws where he's allowing this kind of stuff to help us get this kind of thing stopped or at least thwarted.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. That sounds reasonable. What's your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the... I'll say travel ban that's been given new life by the Supreme Court today.
Well, I'm all for that sort of thing. Like I've been studying this worldwide global jihad since 2008, and I'm talking 24/7. Mm-hmm. So I know what's going on. Now, I agree with this sort of a ban. I believe in taking a hard line with these people because that's the only thing they understand. And if they start to understand that President Trump is in control and he's going to take control and he's going to protect his people, it starts to make them think a bit. And I'm sure, I've interviewed Dr. Sebastian Gorka for my show, and I'm sure he is working behind the scenes with President Trump. There are things going on that they need to do for other reasons that they're not telling us why they need to do this.
Okay. And I have a tendency to agree with you on that. I think there's a lot of things going on in the back of what we're seeing that we're not seeing. So,
yeah. Whereas Obama used to say, excuse me, everybody, on Tuesday next week at 4 p.m., we're going to be at so-and-so, and you can find us there, and blah-de-blah, you know, wink, wink, nod, nod. Whereas Trump doesn't tell anything, which is what you need to do, because they're actually, we're actually in a war here.
Amen. Thank you. Yes, we are in a war, and that the spoils of war are, well, our culture, mm-hmm. our language, our civilization, our children, you know, and I gotta tell you, I really love your approach to everything, on your website and your social networking. I really, really am a fan of yours. Now, we've got about 5 minutes left. Two questions. Number one, how can we as an audience and our platform help realclearisrael.org and Leslie Ann Stoffel, number one? And number two, within the 5 minutes left, is there anything, any other message that you know, that you want to get out that we haven't covered? So I'm just going to kick it to you.
Well, if they go to therealclearisrael.org, excuse me, I'm just getting over a cold and I still have this funny voice thing and cough. They can find all my social media there and follow me there. I've also started a YouTube channel. If they so wish, they can, you know, help donate just to keep things going. But I do work for United with Israel, and then I also do another job here in Canada when I'm here to save up money to go back to Israel. And let's see, but it's not necessary that they donate at all. I'm just saying that. And they can also just as grassroots people, all of us, please just try to get the message out on all of your platforms, and even just talking to your neighbors and friends, because our Western civilization really does hang in the balance. But if we all work together and we work and we pray, I believe we can win it. But it's not going to be easy.
I agree. And you know, as you said, Dad, the spoils are the culture in our society and the minds of the people. And I did a pre-recorded interview with Dave Hodges where we talked about the ideology of fascism and communism, basically the totalitarian ideology. And one thing that was interesting, it talked about, I think it was Marx that was being quoted, but it really applies today, about how the ideology is used as a weapon in order to deconstruct and destroy society in order to rebuild it for right. the purposes of creating a new man. And, mm-hmm. you know, that is all for the good of the party and you know, the agenda has nothing to do with the foundations of our country. And when we see such extreme shifts in away from the truth, for whatever reason, but here we, you know, the Islam issue seems to be front and center and has mm-hmm. been for a few years. It's really troubling to see how far, what these people's goals are. Just lines up completely with history about, you know, the all the terrible governments we've seen, the communist governments and Nazi governments. It's really close. But to see the leaders in the government and the media and law enforcement, as we see in Canada, adapting the same mentality, mm-hmm. it's very troubling. We have
our RCMP actually helps the fake refugees that are coming over the border from the U.S., running away from the U.S., our RCMP helped carry their luggage.
Yeah, too. Yeah, and I think there might be a snippets of picture or a video in the pictures, you know, about that. It's just ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
So, wow.
Real quick, in the few minutes we have left, Israel. My dad mentioned the attack on the Israeli police. Soldier. Police who was stabbed by the Palestinians.
Yes, Hadass Malka was her name.
Okay, has the we haven't seen a lot of stories one way or the other. Has Israel been pretty stable? I know that over the, we've seen the rise in of violence and rockets being launched. I haven't seen any of that recently though. But with this latest attack, is there anything else going on that we
well, there has
concerned.
Been. It's not been covered a lot in the mainstream media, of course. But this, what they've called the knife intifada, has been going on since about 2015, and many, many people, a lot of people have died, and soldiers have been attacked and died, and they've had a lot of these problems going on for quite a while. So this is just part. If you see stabbing in their necks, this comes from the Quran. This is how it happened to the policeman just by the guy in Tunisia. This is the global jihad. This is what we're all fighting. So. you know, and but yeah, Israel is constantly dealing with this kind of stuff. The rockets haven't been flying lately, but who knows?
Have there been any ISIS attacks in Israel?
Yes, there have been a couple of attacks where ISIS did claim responsibility. So that's a very big problem as well, because the landmass, you know, is so small, so tiny, that it poses a big problem if some of these people either infiltrate or can become so-called, you know, radical, or, you know, infiltrate, what's the word, to be brought into ISIS. So,
okay.
Yeah.
And is it because the way that Israel deals, you know, they do their profiling, that we don't see more ISIS-inspired attacks in Israel? Is there a reason?
I'm sure it is. They've got really great security. Everywhere you go, actually, you're checked. I mean, if you go into the mall, if you go in anywhere, you're going through a security check. Government buildings, anything. They, of course, have checks on the road, security checks on the road. So a lot of these attacks are thwarted, a lot, more than we would ever know.
Understood. Okay. And that's the way it should be. Leslie Ann Stoffel, therealclearisrael.org, therealclearisrael.org, on Twitter, at realclearisrael. Leslie Ann Stoffel, thank you so very much. I do come back, please.
I'd love to. I just adore you two. I watch you all the time, and I'm just thrilled to have been able to
see you. We love you. You're just doing such great work, getting the word out. Keep on keeping the fight going, and we'll be in touch. God bless you.
Okay. Thank you. Bless you guys.
All right.
God bless you.
That's Leslie is just a fabulous, and knowledgeable. Man, is she knowledgeable. Talk to her for 10 minutes, and most of these moron meathead people like Rob Reiner could learn a whole bunch from Leslie Ann Stoffel. Of course, it wouldn't take much for a meathead and people like De Niro and idiots like that, but go ahead. Jeff,
network break. We'll be right back after this.
It's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, and that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless and fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.